Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I've been feeling like a most man, sending letters to the people, all the sellers that I got, I'm like a home man.
Close call, Jed Marshall, close call. I'm glad that was well edited, though.
I know what I'm doing back here.
I know. You're a pro. You're a pro's pro is what you are. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're live at Chiefs Training Camp. Our coverage this week and all 3 weeks is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. We're up in St. Joe at Chiefs Training Camp. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is live back in the Rally House studios. Charlie Carlin is here as well. We got a good show lined up for you today. Coming up in a few minutes, one of my favorite people. He does a lot of good work for kids in South Florida, and he comes back to Kansas City and the Missouri area to also do some kids' projects. Former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson. He's up here at training camp today, and been texting back and forth with him for a couple of weeks and finally got it set up so he could come over here today. So about 15, 20 minutes or so, Larry Johnson will be with us. At 10 o'clock, Jared Sutton, former Missouri Tigers basketball star, is going to join us. He does work with scouting in the NBA. He does analysis for the SEC Network, so it covers a little bit of everything. We can get into a lot of good basketball stuff. Basketball doesn't have an off season anymore. In the NBA, there's signings and trades. In college basketball, there's recruiting news. It just never stops. So Jared Sutton coming up at 10 o'clock. At 11, the one and only Nate Buchady, co-host of the Border Patrol here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, is going to be on the show. Already talked to him. He's up here in St. Joe with his son, Ben. So they're taking in all the action. And we're talking to Nate about Sporting KC versus Houston last night. The most important thing is that Sporting KC got a win because they hadn't won in about 5 weeks. That's the most important thing. The side note stories are this was an ugly soccer game. There was nothing pretty about it at all. It descended into Houston ended up with 3 red cards by the end of the game, playing with 8 men, and the Sporting KC players telling each other, let's get off the field after the game. Let's not stay around for the handshakes because fans in Houston were throwing stuff out of the stands, and it became a mob scene. It was embarrassing, quite frankly, for the Houston fan base. First of all, they didn't turn out for the game. They had tens of fans out there. That was our old joke at Metro Sports. If you had a small crowd, you, instead of saying dozens or, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand, we would say tens. There were tens of fans at that game in Houston last night, and they embarrassed themselves. Not all of them, a select few, and it's a shame that a few ruined it for everybody, but it was a hostile crowd. The referee lost control of the game. Houston players got completely out of control. And it just descended into a Sunday beer league game is what it turned into. And that's the way it always is with Houston when Sporting goes down there. It's an ugly place to play. It's a bitter rivalry considering the playoff pass between the two teams. And nobody lets up. It's 100% and then some. And guys throwing headshots, guys cutting guys down. But the important thing is Sporting KC got a 1-0 win. And the youngest, the third youngest player ever to start a game in Major League Soccer was in a Sporting KC uniform last night. Gianluca Busio. Remember the name. He's 16 years old. I'm saying if he's not on U.S. Soccer's radar, I'm sure he is, but he ought to be competing for a spot in the next World Cup, 2022. That's what I'm saying.
Brad, you know how U.S. soccer operates. They're going to completely ignore him.
Oh, they'll have Clint Dempsey back again at age 47. That's the way U.S. soccer rolls. We need to protect our jobs, and the only way we can do it is running out the old guys. It's exactly how they think. But they got new leadership now from a guy who's been there for 10 or 15 years. But that's my massive overreaction. I overreact to everything. So Busio, I'm just saying, put him on the map. World Cup 2022. It'd be good stuff. We're at Chiefs training camp, and I guess the biggest thing today, Jed Marshall, I don't know if you saw it late last night. I had some trouble sleeping, so I was up late, and the initial unofficial Chiefs depth chart is out.
I did not see that.
You did not see it. So who do you think is the number one quarterback?
Oh, gosh, it's tough. Matt McGloin has a good can. I'm still going to – I know he's been interception-prone, too. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, they're going to take a second-year quarterback and put him number one on the depth chart.
I'm in favor of it.
It's like the biggest non-surprise of the whole thing. I'm making a joke, by the way.
I was as well. We were both laying it on pretty quick.
I was trying to look at a couple of interesting things. The running back depth chart was interesting. Kareem Hunt, number one, obviously. Spencer Ware, number two. I'm not so sure that's going to hold up. Damian Williams is three. I think Damian Williams is going to end up as two. Sharkhandrick West is four. Daryl Williams is five. Kerwin Williams is six.
What about Will Williams?
They're out of Williams. There wasn't enough spot. There wasn't enough space on the depth chart for any more Williamses. They have a limit. I think there's like a character limit, and they exceeded it. So I guess the most interesting thing about that is Sharkhandrick West, who's been out for, this is going on a week and a half now in the concussion protocol, which is totally understandable. But considering the competition level at this camp, he's going to be in a situation very shortly where the Chiefs are going to have to make a decision. And the most important thing other than succeeding on the field in camp is staying on the field. You're not making the team if you can't get on the field.
It shows that the Chiefs are in a good position, though. When you're a good football team, you ultimately have to make decisions about whether or not to keep a good football player. Sharkhandrick West has a place in the NFL. My point being that if the Chiefs do decide to move on from him, he's going to find another job. He's a good,
absolutely
good pass receiver. He blocks pretty well. You know, he can carry the ball when he needs to. So the Chiefs are right there. That makes me, you know, I don't want to see anyone lose their job, especially Sharkhandrick West, who's a good guy. But it makes me confident at that position.
Yeah, absolutely. Me as well. And, you know, I think Damian Williams ends up being the number two. Even if he isn't, the Chiefs have been using him in a lot of interesting formations this week, putting him in the slot or kind of in a flanker position and throwing some stuff. And I could easily see some kind of, him being in a reverse scenario, something like that. But Damian Williams is going to be a big part of this football team. I mean, he's not going to lead the league in rushing like Kareem Hunt last year, but he's going to play a major role in this team.
2 years ago when Spencer Ware was healthy, they used him in that slot role earlier in the year, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Damian Williams get some looks there. And, I mean, having three quality backs is the name of the game. That way, Kareem Hunt, I know we're all excited about what he's going to do in his second year after leading the league in rushing, but we've seen running backs tend to break down after 2, 3, 4 years, so being able to spell him and certainly limit his carries is ideal.
Absolutely. And some good news for the starting left tackle and left guard, Eric Fisher and Cam Irving. They are both back on the practice field today. They've missed the previous two practices, Fisher with a shoulder injury, Irving with a leg injury. So they are both back out running with the number ones today. So there's your good news of the morning. Continuing to go through the depth chart, good news for a Kansas City kid. Xavier Williams from Grandview High School, number one nose tackle right now, ahead of Derek Nnadi.
That is kind of surprising. We had Nick Jacobs on yesterday, and he was talking about how he saw Xavier I blanked on his name. But
Xavier Williams.
Yeah, Xavier Williams. I don't know why, when in doubt, go with Williams. Xavier
on
Williams.
On this team, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Being more of a rotational guy and Derek Nnadi being in the starting role. I know it's early, and maybe they're giving him the kiss because he's a veteran, and they really want to dangle something out there for Nnadi, but that is kind of surprising.
Yeah, they'll want Nnadi to go earn it. And that's, you know, like I said, this is the unofficial depth chart. This is something they had to put out to satisfy, I think it's a media obligation. So nothing here set in stone. But, yeah, I mean, you could send a little message to Derek Nnadi. Hey, you know, you just got here 5 minutes ago. You might be the best nose tackle we have. But, you know, don't go to sleep at night thinking that. Because we had a kid, Xavier Williams, who's played 3 years in the National Football League. He kind of knows how to play. And he's pretty good, too. But to your point, Nick Jacobs said yesterday he thought Xavier Williams would kind of fill in as a rotation guy. So when they need to give a guy a rest here and there. Over on the defensive side, no real surprises other than Xavier Williams for now. Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland listed as starters now, but they are both out again today. Neither one of those players is practicing today.
Because it's obligatory to ask.
Yes.
When is that time to panic on at least Reggie Ragland? I think
Ragland
will be ready to go.
I'd be there on Ragland.
Okay.
Because it went from a simple, oh, his knee was inflamed or swelled up after his flight to Kansas City. I get that, but this is 2 weeks now.
I don't get that. I've been on planes plenty of times, and my knees have not swelled up.
My ankles do once in a while, but I'm older than you, so it happens to older people and people who have
Reggie
injuries.
Ragland's younger than both of us and a professional athlete.
Well, he's had major surgery.
I know. I'm making
a
point.
You're 2 weeks into this now, and you haven't been out there. That's a problem.
Absolutely. So who's behind those two guys?
Let's see. Behind Reggie Ragland is Oligwe, and he is practicing today. He missed yesterday. Hey, it just turned around. By the way, Jed, I'm going to give you a heads up. Mr. Larry Johnson just walked in behind me, and we're going to get him on in a minute. So do you want Jed, do you want me to take a break right now? We'll get Larry on? Okay. All right, we'll take a break in a couple of minutes, and then we'll bring on Larry. He's got his beautiful – that's your daughter, right? Yeah, I've seen the pictures. Yeah, he's got his beautiful daughter here with him. So we're just going through the depth chart here. You said behind Ragland, Oligwe is number two, and he is practicing today, and he's looked really good. Behind Anthony Hitchens is Terrence Smith, who's been pretty good, and Dorian O'Daniel is down at third, and he is not practicing today. Dorian O'Daniel is out of practice today.
I don't like that.
No, I don't either. The safety position is also a little interesting. I mean, Eric Berry, obviously. Who do you think is the other starting safety? I think it's an obvious choice.
Daniel Sorensen?
Yeah, it is, but I don't think it's going to
so
be that
bad,
way.
Though.
I don't think it's going to be that way all season.
Well, we talked about it with Nottie and Xavier Williams, so I'm sure they're doing the same thing. Hey, let's make one of these young kids earn it. We know what Dirty Dan can do, and he's a veteran and stuff like that. So I get the logic behind it, but when you hear it as a fan or even somebody who covers the team, you sit and think, there has to be someone better.
Yeah. Well, the two guys listed behind them are Eric Murray, who's been pretty good out here, Leon McQuay, and then you go Robert Golden, Jordan Stems, and Armani Watts is all the way at the end, like fourth string.
Well, that's comforting because I've heard everybody in town talk about how excited they were about him, so yeah, that's comforting.
Absolutely. So I was that's the one that surprises me. And again, this is unofficial. This will change, but that one caught my attention real quick.
So you're saying this is gospel and this is the opening day starting
rotation. This is
the
opening day starting rotation for the Chiefs right now. Yeah. I mean, they might as well just pack up from St. Joe. Jed, I'm going to take off my headsets. I'm leaving now. The team is set.
Yeah, what's the point of you even doing the
rest
of the show?
By the way, I watch these guys every day. I have the rosters in front of me every day. But honest to God, I didn't know they had a backup fullback. I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me without looking it up, or I'll buy you a Coke or something.
You can save your dollar, and we'll save a couple of minutes here. I don't know.
Algernon Brown.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how I couldn't have just.
I look at this roster. He is. Hang on. I got to pull up my roster here. The other roster, not the depth chart.
And what's his first name?
Algernon.
Algernon.
Algernon. He is a BYU guy. He was a free agent. He has 1 year of NFL experience.
Well, I look forward. Let me know the report on that guy.
Well, I should ask Nick Jacobs about him yesterday, about Algernon Brown and, the depth at fullback. Are we okay, if Anthony Sherman has anything happen? So.
Well, we can't lose Sherman with his outfit attire. So, yeah,
no,
let's hope that this guy, he finds an NFL job elsewhere.
Yep, absolutely. And, Jed, you just tell me when to take a break here. Okay, we'll go ahead and do that now. Good show coming up for you. At 10 o'clock, Jared Sutton is going to be on. We'll talk some NBA and college basketball. He's a scout for the Dallas Mavericks. Jared does some scouting for the Dallas Mavericks and also does analyst work for the SEC Network. And then at 11, Nate Bicady will be on. We'll talk about the brawl down in Houston, almost brawl between Sporting and Houston Dynamo. But coming up next, former Chiefs running back, Mr. Larry Johnson. And folks are already lined up for autographs over here. It's pretty cool, actually. I like Larry. We got along when he was a player. So Larry Johnson's coming up, and we'll talk a little football with him. We'll talk running backs. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios, and our training camp coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall's in the Rally House studios. And joining us now, he's been a guest on the phone before. Normally he's in South Beach, Florida, but he's actually here at Chiefs training camp. Former Chiefs running back, Mr. Larry Johnson. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing really good. How about yourself?
It's good to see you. It's been a long time, right?
Very long time. Very long time.
Well, I was telling somebody earlier, they're like, I said, I think Larry's going to be out here today. And they said, oh, what's he doing in Kansas City? I said, he does projects with kids all the time, and we were talking during the break there. You're doing working with the STEM program?
I'm working with the STEM program and also trying to work with the Restart program and bring the Motivational Edge, which is a nonprofit organization that I work with. We're basically helping out, you know, kids with mental illness problems and who wants to, you know, get those frustrations out during, you know, lyrical art expressions and art expressions. So that's pretty much like what I love to do now.
So they have programs in Florida and here in Missouri and Kansas City?
We're working on it.
Okay.
We're that's why I'm now. More and more I'm coming
branching
back
out.
Yeah, I'm about to move back in my old house and just stay out here again. But, yeah, that's what I'm doing. We're trying to branch out and just help, you know, help kids all around the
sure.
world.
You're going to get the nickname Professor. If you're working with all these educational programs, be Professor Larry Johnson, soon, right?
For real, right.
So, I guess we always talk about what players are going to do after their playing careers are over. How long did it take you to find this, or how did you get the motivation to work with kids and arts and science and those kinds of things?
It took me a while. First, I had to get myself straight.
Right.
You know, retiring, and of course, you go through that whole thing of, you know, not playing the thing you love the most. And so after I did that, then I saw kids were really growing into certain situations that I've left from. So I wanted to help them and understand that they're not alone and you could always be relative in those situations. And that's what I love to do, is like to help kids get over those issues. And they don't come from great backgrounds like I came from. Like some of those kids are suffering and coming from really shaky backgrounds. And I'm just trying to let them know that more people care about them more than they know.
That's awesome, because you also, not only being involved with that, but you serve as a role model for maybe kids who want to grow up and do something important and make an impact. You have your young daughter out here today, beautiful daughter, by the way. What is her name?
Jalen.
Mm-hmm. All right. I shook her hand and I asked her name, but she's so quiet. I
couldn't. Oh, yeah, she's very shy. Yeah, she gets that from me. She's so shy.
So has she ever seen video of you playing football? Does she know what you did?
It's surprising. One time we were just watching football games, and she asked me, she's like, Poppy, I want to know what you do. So I was like, all right. I said, you really want to watch the highlight thing? You know, because this is the first time she's seen it. So I was like, all right, we want to do the whole thing then. So right. I showed her college, and I showed her all the, you know, the Chiefs highlights that I found on YouTube. And she was just mesmerized. She just sat down and looked, and she started to know and understand. So every time she sees Hunt, she thinks that's me. So
all right,
like,
I saw it.
She's like, Poppy, that's you? And she's like, no, it's not. It used to be my number. It's not mine anymore. But it's been good.
I saw a 27 jersey walk by earlier, and I knew you were going to be out here, and I was like, hey, maybe that's an old L. No, no.
Yeah, I was like, that's what I like to see. I love to see that. I
mean, the new kid's
doing it. Yeah, he's doing such a great job, and you love to see history not repeat itself. You love to see a new player go into a number and really own it. And
right.
It's just, for me, it's been a joy because he runs similar like me, but he's just a little bit more shorter than me. But so it's been always exciting because the moves that he makes, like I'm moving with him.
Right.
When he kind of like, oh, let's go to the outside for a little bit. But yeah, I love watching him run.
A final question on your daughter watching the tapes. Does she ever say, oh, Daddy, those men are being mean. They're hitting you so hard.
No,
but you were hitting them hard.
More is like, Poppy, why are you so mean?
right.
She's like, you have to do that? Like, hey, babe, this is what I got to do.
Okay, so you said you were doing the moves with Kareem Hunt while you're watching him. So when you watch the game now as a citizen, are you watching it still as a player, as maybe a coach like your dad, or as just a fan? How do you watch the game?
I watch it with a little bit more insight. I see where he could have cut back. And that's only comes when he's very young. When he gets older, he'll be able to see the things I was being able to see. And that's what I was watching. I was watching during the game, as the game progresses, what the cuts he was going to make. Because it'd be holes that he will miss, and it'd be times in the third and fourth quarter where he'll see where I'm going. So I'm like, good. He's really learning and understanding where he has to do with the football. And, of course, like, you know, once your first – you know, yards of contact, and how did he actually power through that? And that's what I pay most attention to, and that's what I'm more proud of him for learning.
You know, he was really thrown into the fire last year, because it was going to be Spencer Ware was going to be the starting running back, and then he got hurt. And I know when you started, you had to wait your turn behind Priest, who was, you know, pretty darn good at the time. But then when you got your chance or turned into a Pro Bowl player, were you a little surprised that Kareem Hunt, coming from, not to say Toledo's not a not a big enough school, but it's not, you know, SEC or Big 12 or Pac 12. Were you surprised that, oh, he's the starter and he's going to lead the league in rushing?
Actually, not really, because there's a lot of great running backs that came out of Ohio. Okay. And even high school, like, you know, Kajana Carter, like, you know, Curtis Enos. Like, I know the.
You're naming Penn State guys.
But yeah, I know. I'm a little bit biased.
I caught on to that.
I'm a little bit biased. But yeah, but you understand, like, the. You know, how they actually groom football players in Ohio. And so you have to really understand that I knew he was going to be good coming out of Ohio as a running back. And, you know, going into Toledo, he was just an underdog that you knew was going to make an impact once he gets his chance and opportunity.
So how do you follow up if you're a second-year player who just led the league in rushing? I assume he feels some pressure to keep the same level of performance. But certainly, I mean, asking him to repeat it is asking a lot.
Well, not really, because he has to understand now the defensive schemes are going to, like, key to whatever he's doing. He's going to see maybe 8-man in the box when he just was seeing 7-6. He won't see as much nickel than he did. He will see a lot more 4-3-3-4. He will see a lot more blitz packages to keep him inside so he doesn't go out on the screens and all that. So he'll start seeing a lot of linebackers. The safety's now keying where he was. Like, before, like I was, like, the first nine games of that stretch, no one knew how they could game plan. So the next year, what did they do? They bring the safety down. They bring the corners to cheat. And he has to start watching a lot more film than he's used to, because that's what they're going to do now. They're going to try to make up schemes to keep him in and make schemes where he'll run right into that defensive coverage.
I know Andy Reid is one of the great offensive minds, but if they need some help in the video room, do you want to jump in there? Would you go do that, help him out?
I mean, I would love to. I would love to. But it wouldn't be like, oh, you can't do this. I'd be like, 2 yards is all you got? I would challenge him to get more. I would challenge him. That's his mindset, that you don't really get to play this game as much. So I feel like I left so many yards on the field. Even 416 carries, I still wanted more.
I still can't believe that. Every time I hear that number, 416 carries, during the course of that season, I was doing the post-game show on Metro Sports, which is changing into something else now. It's a story for another time. Yeah. But we got to the end of the season. I was like, how can a man carry a ball 416 times? And I questioned the wisdom of it. I don't know if you did, because you want the ball all the time, right?
Yeah.
So do you ever look back and think, man, they probably should have dialed that back a little bit? Or were you just happy to have the ball?
I was happy. I was happy. But even when they told me, like, oh, 416, I said, that's a thing? That's a record? I was like, I thought people
that's a lot.
I was like, I thought people get the ball all the time out here. So, nah, it was fun. And I always wanted more. I always wanted to play as much as I could play, because I knew – once you hit 30, 31 as a running back, you kind of, everybody thinks, like, you know, everything, you know, kind of dials back. And so I really wanted to take advantage of while I was in my prime of actually going out there and playing.
We're live at Chiefs training camp on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're talking with former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson, who's up here. You were up here last weekend too, right?
Yes.
So you're just working with these programs and then come out to camp
Out to camp, yeah. It's just like I came up before. I don't think they were practicing, but they were doing walkthroughs. So I was like, okay, I'll just, you know, come back another time, which I knew I was going to do anyway.
Okay, tell me the thing you missed the most about training camp, if there is anything, and the thing you absolutely do not miss and glad it's over.
I missed the family fun nights, because that it was like,
which was yesterday.
It was
just yesterday. Out here.
No, I was
6,000 people yesterday, Larry.
Yes, yes,
unbelievable.
And that would be the follow up to that. I didn't like the fact it was in Mankato. I hated the fact it was in St. Paul, Minnesota, because it was like, why are we up here?
Right.
Like, all our fans are back in, you know, Missouri and Kansas. Like, I wanted to be here and use these facilities. I didn't want to be in Mankato going against the Vikings, fighting every other two practices.
You guys fought.
We fought all the time.
That was a brawl every time.
We literally just said, yeah, y'all want to fight so we can get practice canceled?
Get done?
One time, Dick got so mad, he's just like, everybody go back in the locker room. Go back in the locker room. And we were laughing because that's what our intentions were, to not want to do anything that day.
Right. No, I saw many brawls over there. The best one was probably – boys, Marcus Spears and it was the Saints. I don't remember who it was. Marcus Spears dropped his helmet on somebody, and that big right tackle ended up playing for the Chiefs. I'm drawing a total blank on his name. Big left tackle, not Willie Rofe. he was with the Saints for a long time. I can't remember.
Kyle Turley.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big brawl in that practice. And
yeah.
And I think Gunther was, like, encouraging it. Like,
yeah,
let's beat the living hell out of these guys. And then the teams were separated. And then later that night, Bill Moss and Mike Ditka are down at the bar smoking these 2-foot-long cigars and laughing about the whole thing.
Yeah. The best one was Brock Lesnar, where Brock Lesnar came.
Oh, yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
He just picked, so he picked poor, I forgot who it was, but he picked him up, and it was Justin Ingram, or Jonathan Ingram. He picked him up and body slammed him out. We were sitting there laughing. I mean, everybody came out and cleared the bench, but I was back there laughing. So I'm not getting in this mess. I just got my new contract. I ain't doing nothing out here. But it was fun, though. It was fun, like, you know, hanging out with the guys. And that's one thing I really, really miss is hanging out with, like, a lot of the young kids and the kids that came in after that. You see them, like Jamal, you see them do such an amazing job. And you feel, I told Jamal when he used to, I made them put their locker right next to me. I told him, like, yo, when I'm gone, you're going to have to be that guy.
Right.
You're going to have to do everything I'm doing, and I hope you do it. And he did it.
Right.
He did it. He did it. I'm so proud of that.
So Jamal was so quiet, at least in front of the media. Did he ever say anything, or he just nod his head?
Nah, he nod his head. I try to get. I really try. I'm quiet too, so I try to get him to talk. But we only really needed to say a couple of words here and there. Other than that, he asked me questions, and I would, you know, give him a real honest answer about it. And then it was just, other than that, he was just, I was trying to be a perfect example of what not to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he followed it to the T. So I'm glad he was able to carry, you know, that ball and carry that ego and carry that the team all the way without actually having any problems.
All right, you're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're talking with the former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson up at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. When you look at this current group, we talked about Kareem Hunt. The guy that I have been most impressed with outside of Kareem Hunt is Damien Williams. And I think we talked about it a couple of months ago, and I think he was playing with the Dolphins, so you knew him pretty well.
Yeah.
Gave us a heads up on that. I am thoroughly impressed, and I think the Chiefs got a steal with this kid.
I think so, too. I think if all else fails, you know you have somebody who's going to actually do everything the right way and is going to make the decisions to make himself available to make an impact on this football team. And I think that's the most important thing when you come from a different team and a different camaraderie, a different organization, that you have to bite into the whole scheme, and you have a player like that that's willing to be a veteran in that aspect. You really can't go wrong. And plus, I mean, he's a great running back. Mm-hmm. He just hasn't had his shot yet, but he's a running back that's definitely, you're going to see what he's actually made of when you see these preseason games. You're going to be like, wow, why hasn't anybody else picked up on him? Now, once he's exposed himself for who he is, you're going to be having to sign a contract to extend him because you want to keep him because he's such a great kid.
We saw he's going to be competing with Spencer Ware for that number two spot. Right now, Spencer Ware is technically listed as number two, but that's unofficial. And Spencer's coming off a major injury, Achilles, especially for a running back. I don't know what the most serious injury you ever had was. I don't think you didn't miss any significant time.
Yeah, I remember I think it was either A.J. Hawk or one of them landed on my my foot, and they thought it was my ankle, but it was actually the fourth, my metatarsal or whatever,
right,
my fourth bone of my foot. He didn't break it, but he just looked, like, kind of put it out of socket.
Right.
I think that was, like, the most oddest injury I ever had. I'm like, any other injury I could have dealt with, but that was, like, the most oddest one, and I tried to come back at the end, but it's just the bone was, like, out of his joint. It wouldn't go back. It had to go back naturally, so it was just, and then it literally took 7 weeks. And after 7 weeks, I was back right in the OTAs,
right,
like nothing happened. So yeah, it was just such an odd injury, and that's the only time I really missed was that season.
So for Spencer, you've played with guys who had serious injuries. How long does it take to trust it again? Because especially with Achilles, I've never had that, fortunately, and knock on wood, but trying to get back out there and you have to push on every play, that's got to be a difficult position to be in to figure out when you can trust it.
I think you go past that. Once you understand that you're in your job and your livelihood's at stake, you forget all about that. You just put the pedal to the floor and say, well, if it's going to snap, it's going to snap. I can't really baby it. I can't do anything about it. If it's meant to be, it be. It won't, it won't. But that's how I took it when you come back. When you come back, you just go 110%, and whatever happens, happens. And some guys surprise themselves when they come back from injuries and never have an injury again. And
right,
that's because it's all a mental mindset. Now, of course, you get, you know, you feel a little soreness here and there, but it all comes from when you have to take care of your body, take care of your injury, and make sure you're doing all the proper things to make sure you stay healthy rather than, oh, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to sit back on the couch and eat potato chips all day. It doesn't work like that,
no,
in this league. You know?
Not if you're a finally tuned athlete.
Exactly.
It doesn't. No, if you're a regular dude, that works just fine.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Okay, as a running back, when you look at this Chiefs defense this year, is there a particular defensive lineman or a linebacker that stands out to you as someone that would be very difficult to run against?
No. I played against Ray Lewis. I played against all of them. But the one person I would fear more would be Barry. because he comes down and hit. Like, those are the guys I've asked, like, players like John Lynch and you know, Dawkins, guys that went in the Hall of Fame. Like, those are the guys you really worry about because they're the ones that catch you out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And if you think you come in, you know, you'll break, you know, a tackle or two, but they're coming full speed 8 yards back, somebody like Barry like that would literally give you nightmares because you don't know where they're going to show up, and they'll hit you like
a missile.
Yeah, they'll hit you like a linebacker. So, like him, and I met him in the offseason too with him and his mom at an event that our mom shares. So, he's a great kid, but he's one of the guys I would just always be looking out for.
Okay, for guys like that that are hard hitters, how do you think the new rule about dropping the head or lowering the head will affect players like that? Because I'll just tell you from my point of view, to me it's a natural – reaction to something that's happening in front of you. You can lower the head either to protect yourself, brace yourself, or I'm trying to make a tackle, I need to get down there, I need to get low. So to me, it's a natural athletic thing. Targeting, I'm good. Okay, if you get flagged for targeting, fine. But this lowering the head rule, I think, is going to affect these defensive players and maybe Eric Berry more than anybody.
I think so. But at the end of the day, they'll still do it when the game is on the line.
Right.
They're not going to take any chances. They're like, well, I'd rather take a suspension or a $30,000 fine if it gets us to the playoffs, if it gets us to the Super Bowl. So a lot of guys are going to now nitpick where that part of the game is going to happen. And I think a lot of guys, if it's not going to take a chance where they're going to get a penalty on that, they won't take that shot. But I think that's when you draw the line and you don't know which guy is going to really say, you know what, I'm just going to take it regardless and then see what happens. And that's the way the game is. It's like it's not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. And more people understand and realize this is what this game is.
Right.
You really can't make any more rules. I mean, and that's – we go play flag football. I mean, that's about as far as you can take it.
Well, that's what you'll say. Are we going to turn this into flag football in 10 years?
This is the game we made. And all the players that came before us, like Jim Brown and Ed Sprinkle and all those Dick Butkus, all those guys that played back in those eras, this is what the game is made now. Like, we could have stopped it then, but this is where it's at now.
All right, we have a legal requirement when we're talking about the Chiefs this year at training camp. Everybody has to be asked about Patrick Mahomes II. Mm-hmm. So after seeing him in college at Texas Tech, seeing him in one game in Denver last year, I think the expectations are a little super high. And we're breaking down things. It became a story last week. He had 3 interceptions at practice. Mm-hmm. Well, one, he said after practice, well, I was running into the end zone and they can't hit me. I didn't want to show anybody up, so I just tossed it and they picked it. Mm-hmm. The other one was on a free play. So we're overreacting to almost everything. But your observations of Patrick Mahomes II.
I think he's great. I think he's more and more he gets in there and more he shows a little bit more swag. And I see it every day. Like, mm-hmm. I barely watch practice. I barely know what's going on. But I see the footage him of really coming into his role and really owning that role. And the thing is, I think fans need to really ease up on that because, you know, players like that do understand and do know the pressure that's on them. Like, I've seen it happen to Brody Croyle. Mm-hmm. I used to be in games when Brody Croyle would come into games, everybody was standing on their feet. And the times he didn't succeed, it really hurt him and it really stopped his momentum of getting to be a better quarterback. And I think with Mahomes, I think he has a lot more swag, a lot more, you know, leadership qualities than Brody did. I think hopefully he doesn't let the outside pressures of being, you know, a top-tier quarterback right now get to him. I hope he just goes out there and just deliver and does everything he's supposed to do.
Benefit, perhaps, that his dad played, about 15 years in Major League Baseball, and his godfather, LaTroy Hawkins, played for, 20 years in Major League Baseball. Yeah. Helped that they've been around the environment of being a professional athlete.
Yeah, biology don't lie. You know, traits get passed down. Like, that's how the way it is. Like, you know, all of us are like our parents or our uncles in some type of fashion. So he's got that working for him. Like, biology doesn't lie. The more you try to escape your biology, the more you'll fail at what you're trying to do. So I hope he just accepts where he's at right now and just take it, you know, take the bull by his horns and come out on top.
The Chiefs, I know Chiefs fans are very excited not only about him but about the possibilities for the season. Mm-hmm. But you also look around the division and we always try to pick who's going to finish where and who's going to beat who. Were you surprised the Raiders gave John Gruden a 10-year, $100 million contract?
Yeah, I am real surprised. But
it's been out of the game for a long time.
I just think it's marketing. At this point, it's marketing. It's how you can bring fans into the stadium and pay for those ridiculously parking space prices.
I'm glad we're not the only ones who complain about that, right?
Yeah.
You have to pay them now, right?
Yeah. I get Uber down there now.
I ain't parking nowhere
near those stadiums, yeah. So that's what how I see it. Now it's just more of marketing, trying to get people involved with the Raiders organization again. But like I said, time will tell, and I know time will always tell when they play us twice a year. And that's always a rival, but that's always a thing where you know, when it comes into Arrowhead Stadium, it's going to be a rival where we always usually come out on top. And when we go to their stadium, I'm sorry to say, we always come out on top. So.
Right.
So it's,
I remember Gunther yelling at the fan zone. They were leaning over the rail. I think it was the Monday night game when Gerbach threw it to, I think it was Andre Rison in the corner. I think, or it might have been, I don't think it was Eddie. But we were leaving the field, and I was down in the tunnel, and I was dodging the batteries that they were throwing at you guys. Mm-hmm. Fans just screaming. And Gunther looks up and he goes, "What is that? 23 in a row?" And then a few other choice words that I can't repeat. But are the Raiders are you disappointed that they made the decision to go to Vegas? I mean, you're not going to miss the stadium. It's one of the worst stadium in America.
Not going to miss that.
But the atmosphere is very different. I was growing up, it was Oakland Raiders. Then it was Los Angeles Raiders. Then it was Oakland Raiders. Now it's Las Vegas Raiders. Is there something that's going to be lost about the mystique of the Raiders, or is silver and black always the same?
I think it's going to be a lot more dangerous because now it's the environment. You know, before you go to Oakland, it's like, it's, you know, L.A. and all that. But when you bring it into Vegas and you know the type of atmosphere Vegas is, you don't know if it's going to take away from the game or add to it. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be fun to watch to see what goes on, because you got a lot of players too that love gambling, that love Vegas. You know, are they going to stay focused enough to really care about if they win or lose or not? Or it gets to a point where if they're, you know, if it's playoff and they're not in it, are they going to just check out and say, you know what, I'm going down, you know, play some craps or shoot some roulette. I mean, roulette and, you know, do all that stuff. So you never know. It could, like, you know how Raiders are. Raiders will be Raiders.
Raiders going to Raider. That's
what
it always
is. Gonna Raiders
if
gonna
you
Raiders.
Guys were ever in a close game, we would always say, like, sitting around with Baldy and Dana Hughes, we'd be, close game, what do you think, guys? Raiders going to Raider. You knew it was coming.
They're at the blackjack tables already. So, that's what
third and one, they stopped the Chiefs. Oh, 15-yard late hit.
So it's going to be interesting how the atmosphere actually times off for the, and not just for the Raiders, but the NFL itself.
And the Denver Broncos going through changes as well as quarterback. And I asked this the other day, when is John Elway going to come in for some criticism? Because, you know, he kind of fell ass backwards into Peyton Manning. He wanted another run, and they had a great team, and he probably got along with John. Yeah. But their quarterback drafting has been terrible. I mean, it's Chiefs pre-Patrick Mahomes II kind of bad, maybe worse. When does he come in for criticism?
I think he needs to come in the criticism right now.
That's what I said.
Obviously, they give him way too much credit for the Tim Tebow thing, and they gave, like, everybody, like, you know it's bad when they start talking about Tim Tebow being the last greatest thing. Like, you know that's bad for the Denver Broncos. You know,
when they start
trying to live on the Tim Tebow glory days, you know that's what's going down from them.
That one I got to write down. Tim Tebow glory days.
Yeah, so it's like, but I think it comes a time where you really have to understand, like, is he overthinking the quarterback situation? I mean, being a quarterback too, it's like me. If I'm going to get in a running back, am I trying to get somebody better than me? Or am I getting somebody like me? Is you really have to understand, like, what's his thinking when he wants to bring in a guy that's going to save that franchise?
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're live at Chiefs training camp. Former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson is joining us here in the tent. Can you hang around for a few more minutes, or you got to run?
Definitely.
Okay, Larry's going to hang around for a few more minutes, Jed, and we'll take a quick timeout. He's probably going to go sign some more. You got people lined up for autographs. People don't forget, Larry. Go ahead and sign some autographs, and I'll give you a heads up when we come back on. All right, a quick timeout. My name is Brad Porter. Again, we're at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios, and we're pleased that former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson is coming back for another segment. I was going to say, my friend, can I call you my friend?
Yes.
Okay. What was it? When you were a player, we got along pretty good.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you got along with many other people. So I remember one day there was some big game, I can't remember, and you had just signed with
Cincinnati?
No, you had just signed with a contract with Rockefeller, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So you had something designed in your head, or you were doing the diamond.
You know where that comes from? That was stress.
Okay.
I was hiding it. I was losing my – at that point, when, like, it was a game where – We weren't bringing any new, like, offensive people in to, like, kind of help.
Right.
So people, I was like, my hair was falling out. So I was like, what cool idea.
Really? You stressed out that much?
I was stressed out. That. People don't understand that. Like, I actually, like, I didn't care. Yo, I cared too much.
Wow.
Like, it was every day. And every day I woke up, I was like, what's going to happen? Are they going to bring offensive linemen in? Because at the time, you know, we had, you know, Cal turning on one side. Then we lost Cal. We lost Willie. We lost, you know, Brian Waters. And it was like, what are we doing? Like, then we lost Casey Wingman. I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, how are we going to get through this? So, and then Tony Richardson was next. So I was literally, like, worried. And
you're last,
like,
man standing.
Last man. How can we get this team in playoff picture? Like, how can we do this? How can I do this? How can I be as much service to the team as much as I can? And I was just, my hair was just falling. I was just noticed, like, what can I do cool that no one knows that I can disguise it? So I put the Rock-A-Wear R on my head, and the rest of that was history.
Well, I said something on the post-game show, and I was like, I don't know, Larry's got something cutting to his head. I knew what it was because I know Jay-Z and all that. So when I got in the locker room, you yelled, BP, get over here. You don't know what this is? I said, yes, I know what it is, but we got along pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Because I'm 5'10", 1.50". You're 6'2", 230, 220. You slimmed down a little bit, right?
Yeah. You know what it is? I think because I turned the TV on, like, at the time, I always turned it on to the new local news channel.
Right.
You was on local news channel,
yeah,
so I just kind of left it on, and it was just, you know, even when I was going to sleep, whatever, you was the voice that I was going to sleep to. So it's like, not saying it in a bad way.
That's very comforting, Larry.
Not saying it in a bad way, but it was just, I was just used to seeing you on TV and,
right,
and you talking. So it was like, feel like a little bit more close to you than most of the interviews that I had, you know, at the time in Kansas City, but it was fun.
Well, I did pull a fast one on the Chiefs PR staff when you were playing. I think it was when you had the contract holdout year, and I called the PR staff. I said, "Hey, can I get Larry's phone number?" And they said, "No, he's holding out. You can't talk to him." And I said, "I can't talk to him ever." And then I got your number, and I called and I said, "Can we come out to your house?" He said, "Sure." So we came out to your house, and we put that on the air, and the next day, the Chiefs PR staff
were mad.
They were mad as hell. Why did you go to Larry's house? Is it illegal? Did I do something wrong? They just didn't want you talking.
Yeah.
That's all. So you were talking about guys you played with, and I was watching some of the Hall of Fame induction stuff last night. And next year for eligibility is Tony Gonzalez. First time ballot? Is he in on the first ballot?
Of course he does.
Absolutely?
Of course he does. Absolutely.
He's not going to get Terrell Owened?
No, I don't think so. No, Tony G has literally been that guy that you want to model the National Football League around. And I'm not talking about just for as being a Chiefs player or just being a player, but, you know, obviously his whole heritage and all that. Like, you have to really – when you accept Tony Gonzalez, you accept everything.
Yeah.
Everything about him. And he's been such a – he's been that light in Kansas City. And as a matter of fact, everywhere he went, he's been that guy. And I think he's definitely first team ballot. He's definitely that guy you have to see this in person. Like,
right,
me, I'm going to try to get a flight and go wherever he's going to be to do his thing. But, like, I always enjoyed playing with Tony Gonzalez. I always envied him because I didn't ever have mentally, emotionally, that kind of restraint he had. Like, I know when times were bad and when TG didn't get his records or he didn't get the ball as much as he wanted to or he didn't get the touchdown passes, he never let that show. And that's one thing I always envied about him, is the fact that he was always a professional regardless. And, you know, you see him on the commercials.
Right.
And
he's like, on it. He's everywhere.
Like, every time I see him, I'm like, oh, God, I wish I could be that type of guy. He's doing everything. I saw, like, he was definitely that guy. Like, I always admired, you know, playing, you know, with him and playing across from him. Like, I just admired him.
If I were Tony Gonzalez now, retired, and I really didn't want to do anything, I mean, he's like a supermodel. I would just stand there and say, take my picture all day and give me different shirts to wear. And
I mean, he was in that movie.
Yes.
That should be his new move.
Yes.
Being that, yeah.
Showing up to be the good-looking guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm big. I'm like The Rock. Not quite as big as The Rock.
Yeah.
But, you know. But so you'll try to get to Canton next year?
I'll try to follow everywhere he goes. It's just amazing to see his story and everything folds out. And he did all of this being a single dad at the time.
Right.
And that's one thing I really admired. It's like, you know, he brought Nico everywhere. Like, when he was in the locker room, like, when he had him, it's like, that's hard to juggle.
Now he's, what,
that,
like, relationship. 15 or something?
Yeah, now he's like a grown man now. So it's like, that's what, like, when it comes to her, I've modeled how I take care of my child, watching Tony do it for so many years.
We're talking with former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson, live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. The one thing, and then I'll move on, the one last thing about Tony, he really struggled his rookie year, and I think Marty was pretty tough on him. Was it Marty or Dick at that time?
I think it was probably Marty.
Marty, okay. It was pretty hard on him at the time. And he was not good at run blocking, and he dropped some passes, and I think he was pretty hard on himself too. But every day after practice, I'd stay out there as long as they would let us, an extra 30 minutes on the jugs gun, just catching balls, just fired at him as hard as they could. And even at the end of his time with the Chiefs, you know, you see these young guys who are struggling, or young guys that are just, why aren't I getting my chance? And I said, there's Tony Gonzalez over there, 30 minutes after practice, still working.
Yeah.
And that's, he set that example for those other guys,
yeah,
regardless of what position you played.
And that's what he did. That's what a lot of some of those guys I already admired, where they always stayed after practice and cut, you know, balls of the jugs machine and did their routes. And that's what Tony G did. Even if he didn't do the, you know, catch him, you know, the ball off the jug machine, he was doing routes. He was making sure his routes were crisp. And some of those young guys don't understand. They think that I'm just going to wait and get my opportunity, or I'm just going to show up at practice. They understand, like, you know, you have to do more than just practice if you want to get better as a player. Me, I developed a rage where I can't wait. So I was always chomping at the bit. And I took my practice sessions when I had to play scout team.
Okay.
So I didn't take no date, no practice plays off. Right. I was running against the first team defense, and I was they would tell me, yo, yeah, can you chill a little bit? It's Wednesday and Thursday, like, chill a little bit. But yeah, that's how you get better, by pushing yourself forward and getting yourself mentally ready for being that person, being that guy.
All right, we're talking with former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson. When you look around the league now, maybe a player, it doesn't have to be a running back, but is there a guy, or are there a handful of guys that you really like to say, I'm going to watch this guy play today, if it's not a Chiefs game or something? Tom Brady.
No, I would say the quarterback. Oh, no, hell no. I would say, like, the quarterback from Philadelphia. I want to see him, how he bounces back. Carson Wentz. I want to see how he bounces back off the, you know, the Super Bowl thing. I really enjoyed watching that whole team perform, and especially the defense. Like, I enjoy watching that defense perform. And I like a lot of, like, young guys now, that, because I've been watching a lot of, you know, football when they were in college. Mm-hmm. Like, Henry.
Yeah.
I love watching him run. And, of course, I don't know, the LSU running back for Fournette.
Oh, Leonard Fournette, yeah.
I love watching him play.
He's
like,
tough.
Oh, my God. Like those type of guys, I would rather watch them all day long if I could ever get anything in Florida other than the Dolphins channels.
Don't you have the NFL package or something?
With this one?
No.
It's the Disney package all day long.
He's pointing to his daughter, by the way.
Yeah, I can never watch anything NFL football for more than 10 minutes. I got to watch Nickelodeon and Teen Titans and all that. She will never let me watch football.
We're just about beyond Teen Titans. We're still there with my boys, but they're 14 and 12, and I cannot walk into the front room without Impractical Jokers being on. And it's on 24/7.
24/7.
It's whatever channel, a True Life or True Story, True TV. It's on all day.
All day.
Every day. And then came and did a show in Kansas City at Starlight, mm-hmm. and they were like, oh, can we go to Impractical Jokers? And I'm like, oh, God. I have to go watch this for 2 hours. And then when they do a live show, mm-hmm. they work blue. It's not clean.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, it is, but they get a little dirty.
And
I kept looking at my boys, and they're like trying not to laugh. And I'm like, it's too late now. Yeah, we're here, so go ahead. So I'm just bracing you for what may happen.
Yeah.
So how many, if you don't have the NFL pack, how many Chiefs games do you actually get to watch?
If I'm not watching it on TV, I watch it online.
Okay.
Yeah, I watch it online. So I find ways to get it. It's so easy to get it, because these bars, they have Kansas City Chief bars in Florida. So,
well, you'd have to, because it's retirement.
Exactly. So basically, if anybody's watching the game, I usually go to one of those games to sit and watch and all that. So, you know, I catch up pretty quickly.
So it's you and the other retired people.
Basically, yeah.
Just hanging out. Like the young guy?
I am the young guy.
So like the 70-year-old single ladies are coming over. Hey, Larry.
They're bringing out their pill packages like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm like, oh, baby, it's Sunday.
Exactly. You got to get the right, and make sure you got the right S on the box.
Exactly.
We're talking with former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson. We only have a few minutes left here. So 2018, after you've seen training camp a couple of times, it's hard to judge from this. We don't know anything yet. Do you have a gut feeling about where the Chiefs go this year?
I think they go up. They still go up. I don't think they take any setbacks. I mean, obviously Barry's back. And I think that was the key to what they were kind of losing on the defensive side as far as leadership. And a lot of guys picked it up, but I think Barry being back and Mahomes at the helm, I guess I won't see as much checkdowns as I am, like, usually used to in the last previous year. So it's going to be great to watch a young quarterback really take this team and be excited and take them all the way by using all the guys he has. Like Tariq Hill, flames.
Ridiculous.
Flames. I'm like, man, I wish I had speed just a little bit.
Don't
just
we all?
I had that speed, but it's going to be exciting. It's really going to be exciting because these guys are now used to playing with each other. And then you got, you know, Travis Kelce, which to me, he should be the Stetson ads. He should be like, you know what I mean? He should be the next Stetson ads after Tom Brady. So it's just such an exciting team to watch them actually come together. And all young guys.
Uh-huh.
Like, for me, it was just old guys, kind of like – doing their
just
thing.
Just hanging on.
Yeah, just hanging on. But now it's like a lot of young guys trying to prove a point to the world that Kansas City Chiefs is a lot much more than what we were in the past.
All right, I got 1 minute left. Give me the website for the programs you work with STEM and kids that have mental illness.
It's the Motivational Edge. It's, you know, themotivationaledge.org. .com. So, okay. I mean, not .org, but .org.
Okay. Motivational Edge.
Motivationaledge.org.
Well, I'm so glad that this is what you've chosen to do later in life. I know it's hard to find stuff to do, and especially when you retire in your 30s. I mean,
I
wish I could do that. I mean, good Lord, the money these guys make, I would quit and go live on an island somewhere.
I know. I'm like, the cruise food is so bad. I can't do cruises. So
no, I will never do a cruise. If I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to go somewhere. So.
Exactly.
Hey, Larry, it's great to see you.
I
missed you, my friend, and we haven't seen each other in a long time.
Long time.
Always appreciate your time. And good folks around here are waiting to get your autograph still, so everybody still remembers number the first number 27.
Yeah.
So good to see you, and enjoy the rest of your time
up here
in St. Joe.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson up here in St. Joe. Chiefs training camp fans are still waiting to take pictures and get his autograph, and I got to get a picture before he gets out of here, and good stuff. So we'll take a quick timeout. I know we're up against the break. We're at Chiefs training camp. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall's back at the Riley House Studios. Back with more right after this.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.